This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We thank you for tuning in today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
My theme for today is salvation is free, but discipleship may cost you everything. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for that great biblical truth that our salvation is free, that Christ Jesus has paid the price for all of our sins and has gained us entrance into the kingdom of God. But also help us to understand that while grace is free, you have called us to be your disciples, and discipleship can cost us everything. Give us grace to draw the distinction. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, it is exciting to see a congregation grow. I was privileged to have this experience during my ministry, and I rejoice in it yet today. I came to a Midwest city of about 100,000 in the community. The community was growing. Industry was finding its way into the area, and many people came and joined in our population. It was a city that had many great parts to it. It was a seat of the University of Northern Iowa. There were a lot of academic people there who stimulated our thinking, but there were the masses of well-trained individuals in the technical sense of the word. So these were the people that we were working amongst. The congregation had been made up of primarily Danish folk who had come from Denmark and the intermission movement within that country. In other words, there was a congregation there of about 700 when I arrived, and many of them were very, very committed Christian people. So the nucleus was great. Everything was there to go to work. And work I did, and joy there was, and it was exciting to watch that congregation grow. Now, I do not want you to think that I'm here this morning trying to toot my horn, because let me correct from the very beginning the idea that a congregation grows because there is a dynamic pastor at the head. Not necessarily so. It certainly helps if the pastor can take a role in leadership, but he's not going to get anywhere unless he has a great staff of people surrounding him who make great contributions in various areas, such as youth and music and the elderly, and every facet of the life of an individual needs to be touched with the gospel. But we also, besides a great staff who are paid, need a lot of individuals whose hearts are so captured with the gospel of Jesus Christ that they have to be in this thing and in it in a very, very active way. Well, that was my setting. And so a congregation that numbered about 700 people when we arrived in Cedar Falls, Iowa, ended to be a congregation of some 4,300 people. Now, some years we had to take in about 300 new folk just to break even. And so it was fun. It was fun to see new faces. It was fun to get new talent in the congregation. It was a joyful, joyful experience. Because as the numbers grew, it was necessary to have new facilities. And so you always enjoy building a new church or building this or building that. And we're able to do that. That meant we had to have a larger budget. And pretty soon, a lot of this information got out into the community, and we got some publicity. The media was very good to us and often gave us a lot of publicity that helped us in the growth. But along with all of this, it was a battle sometimes that the staff's ego, and even the members' ego, didn't get in the way. We told about all of the great things that were happening. And once in a while, we'd say, come and see. Come and be a part of us. And that was dangerous because we could rob. And I mean rob, and I never liked it, and I lament that today. Some to come to our church who had been in a more struggling type of setting. They would have been better off to have stayed there and to really let their Christian faith become active among the smaller numbers. Now, in this larger church that was growing larger every year, the Word of God was taught, and we experienced spiritual awakenings and conversions. People met Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, working through the Word of God, turned their lives around. Great things were happening in that church. It was not just a number game, and I personally resented it when some people said to me, "You are building a Sunday morning country club." Nothing could have been farther from the truth. We had all of the things that were necessary to bring people to the Lord Jesus, and we sought to be instruments of the Holy Spirit. But now I'm old, and I sit back, and I read my Bible, and I reminisce, and I think of all of those exciting years, and wonder, did I preach the full counsel of God? Now listen to this. It's our text for today, and it's the assigned text for this Sunday. Jesus is talking, and in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 25, we have these words. Luke 14, beginning with verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.'" Thus far with the text. Large crowds were following Jesus. And I imagine that in one way he was happy to see that they were interested in what he was saying. But on the other hand, Jesus knew that he was about to build a kingdom. And with that building of the kingdom, there would be a lot of difficult times. So he was saying to them, "Unless you really, by the grace of God, have become so firm in your faith that you are willing to put me first, then I can assure you that it will not be an easy life." In other words, he uses some very tough language here that, to read it at first and out of context, can be very hurtful. He says, for example, you've got to hate your father and mother and your wife and your children, your siblings, and even yourself. Is that what he really meant? There is a biblical principle that Scripture interprets Scripture. Matthew, reporting this same incident where Jesus was speaking, uses different language. He says it this way, "Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not able to become my disciple. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." The gospel writers are choosing words that will convey the thought Jesus is making. When there is a task to be done, then everything, including one's own life, must be put at risk for the sake of the kingdom. And then he goes on to say, perhaps a better word than hate is love less. And then we could say that it would read this way, "If anyone comes to me and does not love his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, less than he loves me, then he can't be my disciple." In other words, I have to have the number one place. Tom Wright has said, Jesus is not denying the importance of the family, but not even the family can take precedence over the loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives a picture here of building a tower. I would like to bring it up to date and say building a house. You want to have a new home. If so, you have to sit down first and count the costs. Can I afford this? Or must I cut back a little bit? Rather than having 3,500 feet, maybe I have to have 3,000 feet. Whatever it might be. Now, we have learned in our day that people went way out and built houses that cost millions of dollars, and they couldn't afford it. And then money got tight, and they couldn't make the payment, and they were in a predicament. In other words, Jesus is saying, it's going to cost you something. Even though salvation is free, I have done it all. But if you want to be my disciple, if you want to bring this message of the gospel to this world, it's going to cost you something. And what I'm anxious to say to you, the crowd who are following me, and I'm glad you're here, I want to ask you, are you ready to take that step? And that is a question that has to be asked to every believer in Christ, every person who has salvation because he trusts in Christ. Are you really ready to take the next level and to really go on to be his disciple? The next step, discipleship, can cost everything. I had a brother-in-law, now with the Lord, who was a Navy chaplain. He was securely established in a nice parish with a beautiful family, and all was going well. And then came World War II, and he got the reports, like everybody else, of the young men and women who were dying for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he enlisted as a chaplain in the Navy. The day finally came when the ship that he was sailing on, the Gambia Bay, was in Leyte Gulf. And there was a terrific battle. His ship was sunk. And these young sailors were thrown into the ocean, and that part of the ocean that was shark-infested. They were there for more than 48 hours before anybody picked them up. And while he sat around there, swam around there on his lifeboat, and saw these young men dying, he could only think, yes, my salvation is free. But now my discipleship that has brought me into this predicament is going to cost me everything. I too may go down. But that was first and foremost Christ, bringing Christ to these young people. That was his task. That is where God had placed him at that particular time, to minister with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Far different than standing in his comfortable pulpit and going home on a Sunday noon to a luscious dinner. Now he was there with absolutely nothing but the gospel to share with these young people. This is when I heard for the first time the words of his sermon, salvation is free, but discipleship may cost you everything. I remember one day I walked into the beautiful sanctuary at our church, and there was a man. I recognized him, but I backed out because I didn't want to disturb him. However, I waited outside of the sanctuary, and when he came out, we greeted one another, and he said, oh, I am always anxious to come here. I love to just remember the day that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to me here, and my heart was completely turned around. He wanted to come back. I remember a young lady who was several months pregnant, who came to share with me her plans for the mission field. And I said to her, "That's wonderful, but now you're going to be a young mother. Is that the right place for you to be?" And she said it was here, in this church, in a classroom. The cause of world missions was laid on my heart, and I have to go. And I know that there are hundreds of other people who could point to situations in that chapel, that sanctuary, that classroom, that communion rail, that baptismal font, and say, "Here Christ took me into his arms, and I am his." That's the important part. My question has been, have I really told the people the gospel of Jesus Christ? And by the grace of God, I believe that I have told them that they are saved through faith in him. It was my prayer that they would never leave the church without knowing the way to heaven by grace alone. But I wonder how much time I really spent on those words of Jesus to the crowds of people who came. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and so forth and so on, and we've explained that, if anyone does not carry his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Have I really taken on the second part? Now again, this does not mean that we are saved by works. Salvation is free. But when we take the next step, are we willing to let it cost us everything? Building a congregation is a joy. But Jesus has another word. It is not just to build a big flock and see them come on a Sunday morning and hear the delightful music and the glorious message of salvation. But it is to say in front of you, this day you have a congregation. And as Jesus turned to the crowds in his day, so he turns to the crowd before you today, and you're his spokesman. Remind him, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. He cannot put anything, not even his father, his mother, his wife, nor his children, before Jesus. Can we even begin to comprehend it? Just imagine, friend, what could happen if some people came into the church so easily. They were good members, but they didn't know Christ. They didn't particularly care to know Christ too much. They didn't want to get too involved in the church, but they wanted to do their part. So here's a person who belongs to the congregation and has not heard what it takes to be a witness. And suddenly he or she finds himself or herself as a Sunday school teacher, as a member of the church council, and they're trying to teach boys and girls Jesus, and they don't know anything about Jesus. And they're trying to lead a congregation, and they know a great deal about business and all the mechanics that go along with this, but their life has not been touched by the Savior. It is one thing to see a large church grow, but God wants more than that. He wants us to go a step further and be his disciples. And that may cost everything. Amen.
soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thy obedience, serve and love thee best of all. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives while restless sea. Sounded, saying, Christian, follow me.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that our salvation is free. But help us also to understand today that you said to the crowds once when you walked among them, you must take up your cross and follow me if you want to be my disciples. And we know that that has not changed. And so we ask that in a very special way, you will speak to those of us who claim that Christian faith. We are willing to leave all and follow you. Nothing to be in a place greater than yours in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's gospel message will fill you with the light of the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the gifts from our listeners. Many of these listeners have chosen to join our GEM or Gift Every Month Club. We can count on these regular contributions to sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. If you'd like to find out more about becoming a GEM Club member, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. All contributions may be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We now have many sermons available on DVD video. Please call or visit our website to order our 5-volume DVD video set, Basic Biblical Truths. These original, gospel-centered messages make great gifts. They can be donated to your church or be watched at home again and again. We also have a new 4-volume set of DVD sermons available on the resurrection. To order these DVD sermons, call 1-888-693-2484. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously for nearly 74 years.